Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need. Whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding, we always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life. Really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad. I'm on a journey to heal and get better in all areas of life, and I want to do it with you. Welcome to Heal Squad by Maria Menounos, where we improve and heal all parts of our lives, most importantly, our health. Heal Squad by Maria Menounos, your life improvement series starts now. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to the most special episode of Heal Squad I think we're ever going to film. But before I tell you why, let's start with our quote of the day. Maybe you'll figure it out. Family is not defined by blood, but by the unconditional love and support and connection that binds us together. It is in the embrace of family that we find strength, comfort, and a profound sense of belonging. Love transcends all boundaries, creating a tapestry of warmth and joy that weaves our hearts together in a beautiful symphony of togetherness. And that's by Anonymous. That is the longest quote ever, but I loved it. And it was perfect for today because today we are going to be introducing you all to the people who helped us welcome our beautiful daughter into this world. I'm joined by my lovely and handsome husband, Kevin Undergaro.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, honey.
Really a pleasure to be here. I just want to say that.
I'm really, really grateful for you to be here. Thank you. And thank you for bringing your handsomeness. We're also joined by our surrogate and her husband, who I'm just going to create some fake names for right now because we have to protect their identity. We're going to go with Karina and Bob.
Oh, can he be Frank Cannon?
I thought Bob would be funny.
No, Frank Cannon.
Frank? Okay. Cannon. Bob, Frank, what do you want?
Either one's fine.
Frank Cannon.
Frank, yeah. Frank and Karina.
Badass.
I love it.
Frank Cannon.
Frank and Karina. I love it. We all had to go by fake names for such a long time. It's hilarious. And I was just assigned my fake name. I was like, whoa, that's an interesting fake name. Maybe our next guest can tell us where the fake names came from. So Stephanie Levitch is our dear friend now, who is with Family Match Consulting. She wrote this book, From the Start, that we have her. We've had her on the show before talking about this book, about making families and all the different ways families can come to be. So Stephanie, thank you for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm sorry about your names. It was spur of the moment. Just
you came up with them?
You sound good. We're going to go with it.
I love it.
I'm going to reveal.
Very young.
I don't want to reveal our names because we may use them again if we do this again at some point. So we'll be Maria and Kevin.
Thank you, Kevin.
But Stephanie, thank you for being here. We were so excited to share with all of you the exciting news. Obviously, you've seen it in Us Magazine and on the cover of Us Magazine with our little Athena. And we wanted to share with you kind of how this whole experience comes together and the incredible journey that we got to have as
what
a family.
What experience would that be, Maria?
The birth of our daughter.
Would not be more specific to say the surrogate experience?
The surrogate experience.
Of our daughter?
This is a very good point, honey. That's why I have you here.
Thank you.
I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, guys, but I am caffeinated, so I'm awake. So yeah, we, of course, as you all know, had a surrogate carry our daughter. And so we had this whole journey that Stephanie helped us with. And so we were at the end of our rope, basically exhausted. We had had another surrogate before. Her lining wouldn't grow to the final stage. We had this like really sad breakup. I've never really broken up with a guy or anything. So that was like my first real breakup, and it was really emotional. And then Andy Vorzimer, our attorney, who's just an angel, said, I have somebody who can figure this out for you really fast. Please just call her. And I'm like, I'm so tired, and maybe this isn't meant to be. And I was so sad. And he goes, just call Stephanie at Family Match Consulting. Trust me. And we called Stephanie, and not only was she the answer, she was our angel, and she found us Karina and Frank.
Cannon.
In like a day. I think it was the next day you called us, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, gangster.
Lucky.
We did. Mm-hmm. And so right after that, we ended up on a Zoom with you guys, and we got to meet each other on Zoom. What was that like for you guys? I'm curious.
It was so weird, like, because you're talking about super personal things, like your birth experience and, you know, how you carried your children and how, you know, like, it's super, it's like online dating, but like the like, just let's just be open about it. Like, let me tell me about your uterus. Is it okay? You know, yeah. Like, and it's like, oh, you know, like
you're bypassing walks on the beach,
right? Oh, you're, yeah, you're,
and yeah, going straight to your life.
The romance is out.
Like, right. Okay, are you able to carry
marriage?
Yeah, but you also have to know her viability. Like, it was it, you know, mm-hmm. And why are you doing it? And it is just like, it's super vulnerable. And I was like, oh, like, all right, you know, but I mean, from the get go, it was like, so going into it, it was super weird. Like, what do we say? What do we do? Like, this is like, okay, you know, like, it just super weird. But then from like just meeting you guys, it was like, oh, okay, guard down. Like, so it was, I felt like instantly an instant connection, mm-hmm. and like a realness that was just like, okay, like, oh, we can just be.
And creative, you know? So the audience knows this is your first time as a surrogate.
Yeah.
But it was your dream to do this. Like, I remember when you guys came for implantation week and we were chatting about why you wanted to do this, Frank was like not really into this in the beginning. So tell us a little
That's
bit
so
about
true.
That.
He was so not into it. He's like, why would you, you know, we're not going to do that. You know, we've done our two. We've got two beautiful children. We're not going to do that. I said, you know, it's, we need to do this. And he's like, we're not, why would you do this for someone else? And I,
so let's separate there for one second.
But this also was before you even got married. She said that she wanted to do this, right?
Yeah, that I had hinted at, but it wasn't, you know, like, it wasn't like, oh, I want, you know, I'm going to do this. I was like, no, I would love to help somebody else have their babies and, you know, like complete their families.
Yeah, she had brought this up. She had brought this up a number of times throughout our relationship, or at least a couple of times, like throughout our marriage and things like that. But the time that she brings this up, though, too, is just probably a random.
FYI, their children are in studio, and so when you hear little voices, that's what's going on. They're such good children. They're just having their fun on their phones right now. Okay, carry on.
So she comes and just tells me, just on a random day, I come home from work and just kind of says, hey, I want to do a surrogacy. And
I was probably 2 months postpartum.
So I was like, yeah, let's pump the brakes a little bit here.
I think the truth of it is this, but we agreed that if we had a boy and a girl, that we'd be done. And I was like, and I agreed to that. And I totally believe in it. And I was like, okay, like that sounds like quintessential, awesome family. Great. But I knew that my body could do it again, and I had really easy pregnancies. I had, you know, and I won't say I loved being pregnant, but it was like I knew that my body could do it, and it was a really beautiful thing. I can't imagine our lives without our two kids. So, you know, that's ultimately, I knew that I wanted to help someone else complete their family. It's like he just said, no, we're not doing it. And then he said, okay, when I brought it to him, I said, you know, like, there are so many people who want exactly what we have. I can't imagine our lives without our kids. So, I just felt like I needed, it came easily. I had very healthy pregnancies. I can help in this way, and why not better the world in helping in this way?
So a lot of people ask me, how can they even do that? And we were told going in, and this, Stephanie, you probably can comment on this more, that this is actually, the way Karina is talking is actually the personality type of most of your surrogates. They really do have this true sense of wanting to pay it forward.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom for a while now, as you know, I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it. All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use, where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're gonna love them. I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Tia his, what do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her, because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code HEALSQUAD for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code HEALSQUAD. Trust me, you won't regret it. As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show, or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag, and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts, with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
100%. You know, pay motherhood forward.
Yes. And that's one of, there's many, many qualifications that someone has to meet to become a surrogate. But one of the very basic qualifications is she has to be a mom. She has to have had at least one easy, non-complicated pregnancy and delivery. So these are women who are moms and have kiddos and recognize, you know, how fortunate they are to have that and genuinely want to be able to give somebody else that gift. Women who have tougher pregnancies, they're usually not the ones raising their hands again. And so it's, you know, and surrogates are compensated. There are things that they are compensated for throughout the journey, rightfully so. You know, they're going through so much on the journey, but it's not really about that. For most surrogates, truly the desire to do this stems from just wanting to help.
Yeah, we were told, like, you know, the women love being moms and they want to pay motherhood forward. That's how much they love being a mother and they want to see someone else get that gift. And they said, you know, and the husbands usually like getting a down payment for a new house. Literally, that's what they said.
Well, I know I told Karina that when we were looking at applications throughout the journey, I would look at the husband first. Like, oh gosh. Well, I don't know if I want my baby around him. And I don't know. He looks like he's not really nice. Like that, it was always the husband I looked at first. And so when we met you guys, of course, instantly we were like, oh my God, we love them. But I want to hear from,
but that's
from
really
Frank.
Important. No, but Maria, I think that is important. Like, don't skip over that. That was Maria's big thing. It was like, we know the women, most of them, all of them that we met, it was for the right reasons. Maria was like, well, who's the person that's next to them? What's their energy like? And how's that energy going to affect that the mom's pregnancy and all those other issues? And I think that's was really astute of you. I wouldn't have thought like that. But once you brought it to my attention, I'm like, oh, you're right. Like this. And we came to learn, the four of us, including both sets of our parents, our siblings, both sets of siblings, we all learned like this was a team.
Yeah.
And it was so Maria, like that.
Well, here's the thing. I think in life, you should always look at who's surrounding the person, even if you're hiring someone. What is their support system like? Who's around them? Who's influencing their decisions? You know, they say you are the collection of what the five people you spend the most time with. And so I take very seriously who's around people because I'm going to be dealing with all of them. And it's like when you get married, you got to go meet the family. You're going to be married to the family too. So with this, I wanted to make sure there was never any safety issues for my surrogate, that she was with someone loving and protective and who was not going to abuse her. I mean, you know, this is your child that's going into somebody. So the man is the part, you know, the husband was the part I was most worried about. Because like you said, I know that generally I felt the idea of a woman doing this is she's got to be doing it for the right reasons, because 9 months of carrying a child and pushing one out, that's a lot to do.
About to ask.
It's not a lot of money at the end of the day for what you really do, in my mind.
Yeah.
So it has to at least be a good combination or a healthy combination of the two. But, you know, you have to think about those things. So yeah, that was my big thing. And I told you guys that too, but I want to hear from Frank again about what finally convinced you to say yes.
Well, Karina is,
good job. Good job. This is your first time probably ever being interviewed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are doing great, by the way.
So she's what I would call an ideal gal. She likes to have a lot of different ideas and do different things, and it's awesome. That's why I married her. But I wasn't sure if this was just another idea kind of thing and stuff too. And, you know, just with talking about her more, when we talked about it more and we really sat down and kind of started fleshing things out a little bit more, you could definitely tell that she was a lot more serious about this. She like felt very strongly about this. And as mentioned before, she's had times throughout our marriage and stuff too, that she's kind of either hinted at or kind of brought this up before and things too. And so, just seeing how serious she was about it and how strongly she felt about it. Like I respected that, and that it was kind of like, okay, well, let's see what this looks like. Let's look into this. You know, I'll be open-minded about it. You know, I'll try to put my walls down a little bit about this and let's take a look. Cause honestly, I was very ignorant to the whole process or anything about it really, you know, so I didn't want to just, you know, I didn't want to just say no just because I was afraid to do it, you know, or just afraid of what I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just,
yeah.
I was going to say, Frank, that is so common. I have been doing this for over 20 years, and not once have I heard a Frank in the surrogates world, you know, be asked about, you know, this journey and say, yeah, that sounds great. Sign us up. Like, we're all in, you know, that's a process you got to learn about, understand it.
And you get asked to do a lot of stuff too. It's, yeah. That's why when we were thinking Karina, we were like, no, Frank, thank you so much. Because we know you have to do so much too. And the kids, everyone's sacrificing.
Yep.
Well, then the biggest thing obviously is like health concerns and stuff with any pregnancy. It doesn't matter how healthy you are. There's always things that can go on. So it's, you know, that was initially a fear of mine and stuff too. And, but just going through the process and, you know, getting to meet people like Stephanie and, you know, and our side of things too. And who we had for like our agents and stuff and talking through the process of it and how, you know, how protected that Ashley would be and all these things like
Karina. It's so hard. Trust me. It's okay.
But just big, like seeing how well that this was really, really handled on both sides of things. And as well as with, you know, Karina's drive to this whole thing too. It just, I felt more at ease as we kind of learned more about it and everything. And then, and then obviously meeting you guys and stuff too, and talking with you guys about the process once they finally, I mean, like, when they finally told us that we had a match, you know, cause we were in it for a few months at least at that point, you know, and hadn't really heard much about what was going on, or hadn't really heard much from anybody as to like how this was going to happen and stuff. And I remember talking to her one time and just like, it's like, is this happening or what? And she's like, yeah, I mean.
Had you guys met other people?
No.
Oh.
No, they would send us profiles and I was like, no. And I would like pick things of why I didn't like it.
So did you have to pre-approve us for the Zoom?
No. Well, yes. Oh, so we had to, we knew that you were a celebrity and I was like, nope.
No way.
Like,
I love it.
Yeah, but
we both didn't really want to touch this, but
I was like, we can do it because I'm curious who it is.
She's not marked that down.
But at least
let's meet
just,
him.
Let's just meet
let's
him.
Let's just do it.
See who it is.
Because we can always say no.
Maybe it's.
And I was like,
maybe right. Julia Roberts.
And we were so.
Who's your favorite celebrity for each of you?
Favorite celebrity? I don't. That's really hard.
Pick two.
I don't know.
Pick two. I think Chris Pratt's pretty cool, personally.
Okay.
Otherwise.
So if it was Chris Pratt, you would have said yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'd have to, you'd have to meet
Karina,
him.
Who would have been?
Bagel Boss?
Bagel Boss? Who's Bagel Boss?
Oh, it's just a guy.
Is there like a musician? It would be so crazy for you to
You caught that other one, right? Okay.
The other man crush would be Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran. Okay.
Oh. Just want to throw that one.
Okay. So you guys knew a celebrity.
By the way, we talk about when you come into the celebrity world, right? Mm-hmm. There's a whole kind of etiquette with hiring people, who you hire, how you hire, you know, you learn that stuff. So a lot of people, I don't think, and that's why I'd like to think why we're doing this episode, so people will understand going into it, mm-hmm. what to expect, what, and it's not just putting on a front to get the person in, it's actually coming in authentically saying, hey, I'm going to commit to this way of life for the next 9 months to support the surrogate in this way. But most people don't know how to go into it. You know, you said to me, Maria, the reason most people don't want to stay in touch with the surrogates is only out of fear afterwards. And we were like, what? That's crazy. If we have two people who are going to love on our baby as much as us, why would we push that away ever? Hello. But what I said, Maria, how come other people aren't like that? She said, Kevin, you said they're just afraid.
Yeah.
So I think it's very important to know, what are some of the red flags that you saw that I think other people can go, oh, wow, okay, I'll make a note of that. You still
don't want to answer it, don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay. I think photos,
red flags.
Photos were so important.
Yeah.
So there were some
they speak a lot.
That they would send me photos and I didn't understand the photo. Like, it'd be like old photos and like, so they weren't accurately described in their profile. So like there was it was a picture from like the 70s and it was like this guy and like, but it was a total 70s guy, which would be weird now, right? And I was like, is this the guy? Like, is, you know, he's got like
of this, by the way, just so everyone stash. Knows, Maria, this could actually be just someone's mistake or just not thinking things through to do things, that, you know, put that kind of time and effort in.
So maybe that was him and his.
I can speak to, you know, just like intended parents coming into this process are looking for a surrogate with certain characteristics, healthy, loving, you know, leads a healthy lifestyle, all of those things. Surrogates are really looking for a partnership in this journey for themselves as well. They want, because they're not looking at this as merely transactional, they genuinely want to watch the happiness that, you know, they bring to you as they're sending ultrasound pictures, of course, at the birth. Like, their heart is really in this. And so they want a partnership on this journey and your involvement and friendship and support along the way.
So Stephanie, who would be the best, like, what would be the best candidate moving forward if for a couple or a single person that wants mm-hmm. to hire a surrogate? The best candidate?
A couple or a person who really understands the sacrifice that surrogates and our families are making and honor that and are a partner on the journey with them and shows her support, and someone who doesn't treat it as merely a transaction. I mean, we're talking about humans coming together to build a family. There is nothing more beautiful or profound than that. And I feel like that experience should be treated with the respect and honor that it deserves, because it really is that. It's people coming together with love to build families. It's a beautiful thing. And so to, after a surrogate gives birth, to say, thank you so much, we'll yeah. see you never again, it just doesn't even feel authentic to me. And we almost never see that happen because there's a connection that develops through that journey.
Thank God. Yeah.
I branch on that one too. I think going off of like what Karina was saying about like the people that we were seeing and decisions being made, like, to go with what you were saying too, with who you surround yourself at, like, when you're looking at some of these things and you're not feeling like, and it's kind of judgmental a little bit.
Yeah, I know.
Again, but you're
like, judging, like, off an application.
Yeah, it's like a dating app kind of thing, right? Like, we all, yeah. you know, or everybody's ever, whoever's done any of that stuff knows that you're kind of making some first impressions. And so when you're looking at these things and you're not seeing like either like a loving couple, or like you're not seeing like somebody who's like kind of grounded or things like that, like, it was just concerns. It's like, at the end of the day, like, you're helping these people start a family, and it would be absolutely heartbreaking to help them start a family and then see years down the road, or even not years down the road, something fall apart or then break apart or something, you know, or something yeah. like that too. And so it was like being able to see that there was love there, that there was like stability there, that there was like
25 years in already.
Yeah.
Right. Listen, I think it's very wise, because we had heard a story before we found you, Stephanie. We were with an agency, and there was a baby at the time. I don't know if you remember this.
I do.
That the couple divorced, just all this like chain of events went down, and the baby had no one.
Yeah, they didn't want it.
Right.
Which is so
all because scary. Of what you were foreseeing, maybe potentially in these other people. And this is what happened. And this baby was overseas, and it was like, it was supposed to be delivered overseas, and it was, you know, like in limbo.
So I'm going to move this along. So we are getting back to our timeline. We met, we all fell in love and we decided we were going to go. Now, from that point, it took an entire year, I think. Right?
Oh, too ten long, months. An it abnormally long amount. It's so, not Steph, usually.
Tell us yeah. the experience for most surrogates and us. Mm-hmm. How long does it take to go from identifying the family and saying, okay, this is who we want to go with? How long does it normally take?
Normally, from the time of matching until the time of their being able to implant. Be an embryo transfer, on average, give or take about 4 months.
Four or five,
maybe, depending. It was, there were so many things and delays and things at the clinic, and it just kept getting delayed and delayed.
Wow.
That is not typical.
Okay. Well, our whole journey wasn't typical.
I know.
It was worth the wait.
Did COVID make it more slammed? Because it seemed very inconvenient at the clinic. It was jammed.
It was crazy. Yeah. Well, things kind of shut down for a while and then opened back up. And so everyone got flooded, and people were always out with COVID, sick. There were staffing issues at clinics all across the country. And so there was a challenging time, you know, I think, especially earlier COVID. And I want to make sure not to forget to give a shout out to Family Creations. Julia McConnell is the owner. They did an amazing job, and we source amazing candidates through awesome agencies who we know, we trust, we vetted. They are the ones who found Karina, and that is how I found Karina and Frank. And I'm so grateful that they brought her into their program and allowed us to collectively connect as a result of it.
As are we. So we implanted. We got to spend the week together, which was so much fun getting to know you guys. When you left here and left Los Angeles, what did it feel like for you guys? Did you guys feel better really kind of knowing us at that point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say coming into that week, it was still like, all right, we've talked to them on Zoom a time or two, but like, we don't really know them super well, but like, we're getting into this, you know, this is kind of like, here we go, you know? And so it was like, we were really excited to spend some time with you guys and get to know you guys more. Not that we had any doubts, of course, but you know, again, like, just with how the process has been and how long it took and everything like that too. Like, obviously there was just, you know, there was a lot going on. We were still living our lives and everything too. And as were you. And, but it was great to have that week. And that just really, like, hanging out with you guys, like, really solidified that it was like, yeah, this is the right move.
It made it exciting to think like that you guys are going to become parents. And it was nice to know you as people. And,
you didn't think we were crazy Hollywood people after?
No, no, it was so funny because when we went downtown and we went and saw the sights, you guys are like, well, let me take your picture. Oh, and it was like we were like, it was so
we talked stupid. About that like the whole night.
Funny.
Like, how did that work out that the celebrity couple is the one taking our picture?
And like, you know, and it was just such a genuine experience. You guys were like, we want to know you and your family and what, you know, what do you guys like to do? And what about your kids? And it was like hanging out with friends, like we had known you forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were just so excited that you guys were going to become parents. And
we had lunch with you, Steph. And I remember you being like, this doesn't really happen a lot. And then I heard that on the other side. After the birth, our baby nurse was there and she goes, I don't see this often. And I go, what do you not see? And she goes, you guys are all hanging out together. Usually they take the baby and they go. And I was like, it was funny because I remember really consciously saying, I want to make sure that you guys feel the reward of what you just did. And so I was like, if you need to kick us out of your room, you tell us. And the only time I left was when both of you were out cold and I'm still FaceTiming people being like, and I was like, okay, I'll go to my room. And then eventually we all, you know, reconvened in our room with the kids. But we just made a family together. So I wanted to make sure they felt all of the goodness and the excitement and the joy, and they experienced every moment we were experiencing together. I can't imagine that the opposite is true, but I can. And what I was explaining to Kevin, I said, you can't pass judgment. It's fear. And we talk about fear on this show all the time. And I always say everything, and this is from George Adair, I think, everything you want is on the other side of fear. Mm-hmm. So if you can push yourself past that, there's something really beautiful to experience, which is why I wanted us all together, because I really want to encourage people to let their guard down and allow for that amazing experience to happen. Because this was, of course, the greatest gift of our lives to have Athena, but it was amplified by a billion that we all got to do it together. And we got to like watch each other through this process and enjoy it together.
Yes, so much yes to everything you just said. And you hit the nail on the head. It stems from fear 100%. And then especially everyone going through this process as parents is afraid. Am I going to be mom? Is this other person going to be mom? No, not the case, of course. But I understand, you know, the fears. And then when you add on, when people go through this who are in the public eye, there's all these other layers of fears, like bringing a stranger, which you both were at the time of initially meeting, bringing someone into their lives in this way. But, you know, I always tell people that investment that you make in the surrogate is what's going to make you, both of you, more invested in the journey as surrogate and surrogate family. Mm-hmm. And that investment is what makes a beautiful journey. Yeah. That investment is what makes you actually want to do right by these incredible people that you've been given the opportunity to help, rather than some unknown strangers, like you're just this robot carrying who knows who baby. You're not going to be as invested in the overall health and wellness of this journey because you don't know them. Yeah. And so cultivating that friendship and relationship is actually better for the whole process as a whole in every possible way.
Did you feel that, Karina?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, the miracle of having two people who are just people, they're Kevin and Maria, like watching that process of becoming mom and dad was like amazing. I mean, I was a little nervous to have to have you guys in the room, because I'm like, oh, this is like a really personal experience. But I would never have my own husband miss the birth of our children. So I can't imagine missing the birth of, you know, you guys missing the birth of Athena. And but it wasn't weird at all. It was just a beautiful experience. I felt very protected and like loved throughout the entire thing. Watching you become mom was just like just the most euphoric, like, whoa. Like, and then all I thought afterwards was like I had just delivered, and there's you holding Athena, and then there's Kevin, and it was just like just the wholeness of your family. And then I just thought, I did that. Like I did that, you know. And I felt like just like a superhero.
Yeah. Like, well, you were. You were. And the fact that you made my dad's day was so amazing, because he was not
there. What did he think of that?
He was so, I mean, he's just, my dad is maybe the happiest human on the planet.
Now, but he doesn't like blood, or he doesn't like seeing people in pain. So he was like.
And he never saw our births. I said, Dad, you're coming to the end of your life. You're 79. Like, try something different. You don't have to look, and we don't want you to look. Like, this is like, you know, but sit in the corner and just be a part of this. And he's like, no. And then Karina, when we were in the room as this was about to get going, she said, you're staying. And he goes, no. And she goes, but what if I need you? She said the right thing. And it hit him, and you saw his face. He felt so like guilty, and like he had to. And it was really beautiful. And, you know, it was so special. And I'll say, for what you said, Steph, earlier about worrying about, you know, I know a lot of people worry about that they're not going to get the baby. You know, the attachments, those are the things that you work on with people before. Like my friend Lori Bregman, the doula, she educated me on what to do in the hospital. She told me to set up the flameless candles and the sound machine and to make the ambiance nice. And she taught me about all the tests that they were going to run on the baby and what I could have agency over, and informed and made me an informed parent to be on what I wanted and didn't want. So like when it came down to, do you want to break the water? I remember the nurse, Morgan, was like, well, you know, it is very rare, but sometimes the babies can be born in call and it's super rare. And I was like, oh my God, that would be so cool. But I didn't have any time to think about that really being a potential. But I remember calling Lori from the hospital and being like, I'm nervous now. They're asking if we should break the water. I know we said no, but what should we do? And she goes, well, do you want to? And I go, no, I want whatever's natural to happen. She goes, well, then just do that. And I go, okay. And so, of course, Athena was born in call, which was so cool. And
what is in call?
In call is when they're born in the sac. Like they.
Placenta.
In the womb. Right.
No, in the embryonic sac.
Yeah. In the embryonic sac. Sac. And so.
Is that what it's called?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. That works.
And so it was such a special experience, and it was so quick. So, you know, I went back to my room thinking, okay, I can take a little power nap. And then before I knew it, Frank was at the door being like, hey, it's time. Like totally calm. Like we were going to get lunch. He's like, it's time. And we're like, what? Yeah, that was better than the
we were all at a hotel together. And I was like, I started labor and I was like, okay, I know. Not, I was like, okay, I think that this is happening. You call the hospital and they say, oh yeah, you know, come in. And we went and banged on your door and said, let's go. It's time.
And I was that? Out cold, but I had just gotten your text, and her text said, I'm having these pains. They're 8 minutes apart. Now, we had had a false alarm earlier in the week. And I was like, Kevin, she said that she's having pains eight minutes apart. 8 minutes apart means contractions. He goes, yeah, I know. He's like, they just knocked on the door. We're going. And I go, wait, what? And the instant shock that hit my body, I was like in a whole other stratosphere. I didn't know what was up, what was down, where I was going. It was hilarious. And then we got to the hospital and we were doing all the walking in the halls with you. And then, you know, you bounced on the ball. And then before I knew it, it was like go time. And I was just so surprised by the experience of the birth. Now, my friend who gave birth here in LA was like, my birth was not like that. Ours was so peaceful and calm and beautiful. And that hospital was just, they were angels. And it's just, it's such a surreal experience. Like, your baby's coming out. I'm like, oh my God, Kevin laughs. He'll imitate me every so often. Go ahead, honey. How was I when she was ready to come out? Doctor says, are you ready?
I'll tell you if it was a good imitation or not. So go ahead.
Okay, I have to put myself there. But
now he has to perform.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Her hands were going back and forth. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then
she was going to spew out. Or yeah. Like, I don't know which direction she's going to come.
No, and like I said to
him, that's exactly how it was.
We had an interview last week about it, but I said, Mary, the extension cord's still attached. She was telling, oh, she was like, okay, my baby. And I'm like, no, the umbilical cord. And the nurses were like, no, there was only so much slack. We were running out of slack on the umbilical cord.
I was so scared to, first of all, the whole thing was
so great to see Maria turn into like the 16-year-old who was like, oh my God, oh my God.
Most underconfident maybe ever.
It was amazing. Anything. It was awesome to see. I love
it. But it was funny because up until then, the whole birth plan was the second she's born, she goes skin to skin so she can bond with me. And all I kept thinking about is, they're slippery little suckers. What am I going to do? I can't drop her. So when the doctor looks at me so nonchalantly, are you ready, Maria? And I'm like, and so I was so freaked out that I was going to drop her. I almost felt like, yeah, like, you know, those games where you don't know where the ball's going to come out from. And
I think when you're first time parents, it's just how to hold the baby. You feel like you're holding this piece of china. And then when you see the nurses and the moms who do it all the time, I mean, they're like juggling the baby on one finger. It's like, it's nothing. The nurse we had who helped us,
Amber, that was that night.
It was just like she sat Athena on her lap. She tapped her back. She burped her. It was like it was nothing, you know. But when you're a new parent, you're like, butterfingers.
Oh my gosh. It's when you're a new parent and then coupled with a decade long of infertility and surrogacy and every heartache and loss and thing you experience to get to that point. This is the most precious little miracle imaginable. And it's very scary. It's scary for any new parent. Like, you're sending me home from the hospital and I'm supposed to keep this little thing alive. Like, are you kidding? But then you add on how compacted that is after so much heartache. It's scary.
I have a family member who's, you know, is like is 30 and who just is the same week Athena was born and her baby was born. And I was really surprised. When they got home, they really didn't know what to do. And I recommend this to anybody. It's very affordable, but we hired a
baby nurse to teach
for one day. You know, it was about 3 or 4 hours and we took notes, but we learned so much in that session.
Swaddling and cleaning and
diaper changing,
nose sucking, and all the things we everything. Had no idea.
And keeping the vermix on the baby's
Lori taught us all that stuff. Lori taught us the birth,
but the nurse, the vermix. No, but the nurse had said it as well.
She reaffirmed it.
She went over everything. I'm just saying, like, yes, Lori Bregman is amazing, but not everyone can afford a Lori Bregman. You can afford. I was surprised at my family member. I'm like, wait, what? You know, for in any small town, you could hire somebody just for 3 hours. It was 3 hours we sat with this nurse. But I took many pages of notes and like I was as ready as you can be. You know what I mean? There's going to be things you can't be ready for, but that helped.
Yeah, it really did. So we go through this whole journey. We were, just so everybody knows, because we missed the middle part because we went right to the good stuff. But we were, Karina and I were going back and forth the entire time. Like, I was sending voice notes for the baby, reading books, and you would be like, she's kicking like crazy. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so exciting.
You know what you should talk about maybe is when you found out it worked.
Oh yeah. It was funny because Karina was so ahead of the fertility clinic. She's like, I want to know. I'm checking. So she checked and we kind of knew before the fertility clinic confirmed it because you were anxious.
Yeah, I was so anxious. I was like, but I just had to know.
Well, we'll tell you.
Are you going to be married?
I am. So we implanted 2. And I was so, so like in belief that we were going to have 2. We were 1 and done. We wanted to have 2. And so I got the text from Karina and I knew she was at the doctor's and she said, baby is doing great. And I go, Kevin?
And we were both like, maybe it's a typo.
Well, you should say that it's after there was a positive HCG test. So we knew there was a pregnancy.
Yeah.
But this was when you went into the ultrasound to see how many were there.
And so thank you, because I forgot that clarification.
Yeah.
So she's like, baby is doing great. And I'm like, baby? What does she mean, baby? Babies. And I had my, because I document everything, I had my iPad on to film the moment that you were going to tell us that we were going to have twins. And, you know, you had the very difficult job of breaking the news to us that it was only one. And I know for some people that would seem like, oh, poor you, you only have one. We fully recognize how blessed we are to even have one, but we were hoping for two. And the tears are like streaming and we're just both so emotional. So tell us what it was like to have to break that news.
So, yeah, they told me, they're like, oh, yeah, there's one healthy, you know, there's one healthy heartbeat right here. And I was like, can you look for the other one? And they're like, there isn't another one. And I was like, so not only did I get bad news, I had to share the bad news and then make it work, like share it again. And that it, so that was doubly difficult.
Yeah.
She called me and she was devastated.
I was like, what, how do I even say this?
Like, I know how much they really wanted this. Like, we had the same reaction too. Like, we know that, like, it's still good news. Like,
yeah.
That one took, like, that was, that obviously is the hope. But we knew too that, like, well, two were there. Like,
it's still a loss.
You really want to have two. Yeah. And so you're like, you're kind of balancing that like, hey, this is good, but there's, you know, there's still like a little bit of loss.
Your maturity level, Corinne, it's amazing, because what we received from you was, great news, everyone. You know, like exactly how, I guess, if I were instructing somebody on management and personalities and how to relate in a group setting, that would be exactly how. But you would never expect someone of your age, you know, to. But you were like, nope, we're going to focus on the positive of this. And it's great news, everyone. And almost, it was great because it guided us there, you know, rather than guiding us, which, by the way, we should be the ones doing that with you based on our age and who's, you know, serving who in this situation. But you were so amazing because you're like, this is great news, you guys. Our baby is doing great and this and that.
Yeah.
And so we were like,
kicking it off. We're like, okay.
And we shook it off.
We got it out, because I always say you have to give yourself the moment, but then you have to move on and move forward.
Like for a second.
But I was examining the ultrasound, because I'm like, I see something up here. And I was holding out hope for a really long time that they were wrong, because they do say that sometimes they miss the twin. Sometimes the twin is hidden. And even, I mean, I have to say, like, even the day of birth, I'm like, there they missed it the whole time. You never know.
And now I'm so grateful it was just one, because I can't even imagine. Just love on her so much.
Yeah.
So it was such a blessing anyway.
So we were so blessed, because Karina's like a superhero. So it was an easy pregnancy. This woman never complains. It's like you are just superhuman. And she was at a strawberry festival the day after birth. Like, you were just like living life, and I was like, oh,
okay,
my god,
Maria, it's not like any off. It's not any strawberry festival. Like, let's qualify this. One of the biggest in the country. I'm just
thank
saying.
You thank you, good point.
Okay. Just saying.
But I remember, like, 2 days, we had just gotten home, and I was FaceTiming with you, Frank, and I was like, you know, Karina and I have talked a lot throughout the journey, but I haven't heard what it was like for you. And when you started saying the things you said at the time, and I'll ask you to share it again, I was guttural crying in my kitchen. So just share with everybody kind of from your perspective as somebody who was like, I don't know what this is all about.
The naysayer.
The naysayer. Yeah.
Yeah. The confusayer.
You mean like the birth part or like just
like the whole journey? What was it for you?
I mean, honestly, it wasn't too bad. I mean, you know, kind of, I explained the beginning part of it and how that all kind of went. And she, you know, she convinced me otherwise that this is definitely going to be a good thing. And I'm very glad that we did. You know, she, as you guys said, she's superhuman. She took on a lot of this stuff, you know, and, I was just there to just be where I needed to be, kind of thing, you know, it was her doing 90% of the work at least. But it was really cool just being a part of the process of it and stuff. And like, you know, like we talked about getting to know you guys and stuff. And then once we got to the actual birth of it, like the most incredible thing was like seeing your guys' reactions when Athena was born. Like I can't even put into words like the pure joy that you could, the genuine joy that you could see from both of you guys. Like it was just, I don't know, I was awestruck kind of in the moment of it and just watching you guys like holding her for the first time and stuff, and just, I don't know, it's like it's so hard to put into words what it was, but you guys were just, you were so overly happy, and it was incredible to even just be in the same room of what was going on. You know, obviously, like I said, I had very little to do with that process at that point, but to be able to see and experience that was
it made everything worth it.
Yeah, the whole process of it all, and it wasn't like a bad process by any means, but obviously there was work.
It was long.
There's a long term. Yeah, there was a lot to it and everything, but like that whole, like it all seemed so small in comparison to like what just happened, you know? And it was.
So then he was thrilled and he was just like, that just happened. And, you know, like I think he was so happy and I felt the reward from all angles, and you guys were so happy and I was so happy, and I was like, oh my gosh. And Athena was perfect. Mm-hmm. Like a perfect baby. Yeah, and I was a
perfect baby.
I was like, oh my gosh. Like I was on top of the world, and I still am.
And I got to say, we can't tell you guys how much we appreciate your guys' aspect on this and take on it and on including us as much as you have too, and through that birthing process, like and after, you know, to kind of be in the same room with you guys too and hold Athena and like be able to talk with you guys about this and all that. Like this whole thing would have felt way differently if we didn't have
it. Would have been way different.
Yeah, if we didn't have that, like that final closure part, like you said, like that really does, like even Stephanie was saying too, like that really does bring the whole thing together of like, this isn't like a transaction, you know, this is like, okay, here's baby, we'll be on our way,
yeah,
kind of thing. Like,
oh my god,
like,
that would have been horrible.
It was like, just, I don't know, like being able to be a part of it for that day, it was just soaking it all in. And just,
I'll tell you, the whole week, birth week was, to me, it was amazing. It was,
yeah, we saw,
it was
10
senior weeks at it together.
We went to every restaurant, we did everything.
We hung out with you guys, went to your house. Like, you know, it was almost where, you know, you love Christmas, but it's the leading up to Christmas that's the most fun, you know.
Yes.
So it was so fun. I'm like, because Mira was like, when, I'm like, I like the way this is so fun, you know, just to sit and wait. I'm like, it was,
we had pools, it
was magic.
Yep,
yes, we had pools. And no one won.
No,
actually, Andy Vorzimer won, our attorney. He picked the date.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Yeah. But I want to share too for people. So one of the things that I was told by Lori was, you hold the baby for the first hour, let her have skin to skin with you, and let her bond with you. And so the second she came out, the doctor hiked her right to me. And yeah, I didn't want to drop her, so I was going back so I could try to, you know, bear hug her up against my chest because the cord was a little short. Or, I mean, you know, nothing against the cord. Cord was perfect, but you know what I mean. But I held her, and at some point I brought her over, and you were like playing with her feet and her hands. So I was like, you know, you were getting to see her and experience her with me, but I was letting her have contact with me first. And then after the hour, you got to hold her. And then they took her for, you know, all the little tests and stuff like that. And then, you know, the kids came to meet her and Brandon held her, and it was just so special. But I do want to share with people what it was like for you after, because the one thing we knew about Karina is she's not emotional. She does not get emotional, but you got emotional.
Yeah.
And so I want you to share that for other people to know that that's normal.
It's so normal. So the birth was amazing. I was on top of the world. And then it came time just to say goodbye. And I was like, all right, I'm being discharged. I'm without a baby. And it was like, okay, you know, but I knew that from the get-go. But saying goodbye was just like such an, it was an end.
Yeah.
It's not the end, but it was an end to a chapter. And it was like, oh, my part is done. And now Kevin and Maria get to take over. And what was really great is that I got to see her, and I got to see her with you guys and trust that you guys could take care of her. Yeah. That you guys were going to do a really excellent job. I think, I mean, not that, I had any say, because if even if you had dropped her, like, you know, I wouldn't have any say to, I didn't have any say, like, whether she was going to go home with you, but I felt really good that she was going home with you. I knew yeah. that she was, you know, going home to a loving home that was going to take care of her. And, you know, you carry someone with you for 9 months. Of course, you know, there's that attachment, but it wasn't a maternal attachment. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, I'm caring for you. I'm making sure that, you know,
she's safe.
That she's safe and nourished and, you know, that she's going to have the very best start in life. And I'm doing my part. And we went in with that mindset that everything was going to, that, you know, that this is Kevin and Maria's baby. And so the kids knew that. And I, you know, when the kids came and met the baby in the hospital, Maria, you were holding Athena. And, my baby came in and we call her baby and we said, oh baby, look, there's, you know, there's the baby. And I said, whose baby is that? And they said, that's Maria's baby, you know? Yeah. And like, mm-hmm. they totally got it. Mm-hmm. I was so worried about that, but knowing you guys, like, you know, and you guys FaceTimed the kids beforehand, mm-hmm. and you had never met them before, you know, this trip. You guys made an impact and they knew who the baby was going to.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was really, like, it made it a complete experience for me. And while it was still very emotional to say, you know, to end a chapter, I knew that it was just like the very best experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that morning. So it was the day after. It was just me and you, because my dad and Kevin had gone back to the hotel, because we're like, wow, we're going to be discharged. So we're going to get to leave and go home, go get the stuff. And so it was just Karina and I, and I was like, can I take a shower? Will you watch her? She's like, yeah. So she held her, I got ready. And, you know, it was really emotional for all of us. And I had to reassure you that this wasn't an end. Like, this, you guys are family for life, and you guys are always invited everywhere and anywhere whenever you want. I was like, you guys should do an annual trip to Connecticut with us in the summers. But you guys are part of our family forever. And then I think you probably saw that after, like, we wouldn't, you know, we were still FaceTiming after and all of that. So that yeah. probably, I hope, helped the transition, right?
Yes, completely.
Good. I mean, there's still, because sometimes I'll say, one of the things that I worried about when I saw you so emotional, I'm like, oh gosh, did I do something wrong? Should I have not been as, like, intimate about this? Should I? And then, do you need, like, a breakup, like, with a guy, like, where you have to, like, not talk to them for a while so they can detach to then reattach in a healthier way? Like, I was thinking all these things in my head.
Yeah.
Because I'm a problem solver. But it all worked out. It was all, like, easy.
No.
And great.
So. Yes.
And also, we should talk about the hormonal changes that happen in women after giving birth. Not that that's the only reason you're emotional. I mean, yeah. there's so many emotions.
Oh, I think it's good to bring up, because you need to be sensitive yeah. to that. Everyone right. does.
Yeah.
The, you know, surrogate as well as the surrogate family.
Yeah.
And then the other part that we didn't get to mention that we'll kind of close up with is, in the middle of all of this, I got diagnosed with a tumor on my pancreas.
Yeah, that.
And had a horrible, terrifying scare that we had to keep from you guys for your own good until we figured out what it was. Because the last thing I wanted to do was scare you guys. You're now carrying our kid and you're like, oh gosh, is she even going to be alive? You know, what's going to happen? So intentionally we kept it private till we figured out, okay, they think we can get this out. Let's get on the other side of surgery and then we'll call them and let them know so that they can feel good. What was that like to hear that news on your side?
Well, we were talking and then you said, well, we have some news. I'm like, but it was almost like we were sitting down and you guys were going to tell us that you guys were getting divorced. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh, great. Like, now what? We've got some news for you. It's not good news. And Kevin's like, no, it is good news. You know? And I'm like, oh, so Kevin's not happy.
Could be anything at this
point. And so he's like, no, it's wonderful news. And, you know, and then just hearing everything you had been through, and it was like, oh my god, like, they have, this is supposed to be the most joyous time. And I was just like, this is, you know, and of course I'm you know, it was not the most joyous time for you, because you're like, I'm not gonna meet my baby, you know. And
no, how
awful that must have been.
Oh my God.
But to hear that, you know, it was completely removed and like, and that you were going to be okay. I mean, I would not have done well if you had told us that I would have been like, this is terrible.
It would have been too much on you.
So, but we thought, so that was really big. But we're happy that you guys are still together.
Yeah. We're still together.
In retrospect, do you understand why and can appreciate why they held off on sharing with you until they had,
completely.
You know?
Completely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 100%. That would have been a mess. I mean, because the hormonal change, like, and you're doing something and you think that this is going to be the most wonderful thing in someone's life. Mm-hmm. And it would have, in what would have gone through my head is like, now Kevin's a single dad. Like, and that's stress. Like, it's like, no matter how wonderful and beautiful, you know, Athena is, it's like, well, now I'm doing it alone, you know, and this is not what I wanted. And this is not the plan. And it didn't, and things don't go to plan. And there's always wonderful things that come out of the unexpected, but that would have been stressful. Mm-hmm. And the way that you guys presented that to us in like a very personal, hey, you know, I want to tell you about this, you know, like, in person and in our over Zoom.
Yeah.
But in a very personal, hey, this is really important news to, you know, that's happening in our lives. It wasn't through the media or something like that. That, you know.
Yeah, and that we, was and really we had talked about that afterwards too, about just like we did really appreciate like you guys being upfront about it when you could.
Yeah.
You know, cuz you know, like I said, we had talked about it and we're like, "Oh, like we wonder if that like if they were purposely not telling us or not or anything like that." And it was kind of, we kind of had come to that conclusion that it was like, oh, well, it definitely was better to find out this way.
Yeah.
You know, that now you guys kind of had the ducks in a row a little bit, you know, able to like give us like, hey, this is the projection of what's going on. And thank God it was a good projection, you know? And so that was, it was really great. And obviously, you know, for us, like, you know, I would say lessened the blow in a way, you know, like it was like, okay, well, this is like, that's really good that that all happened. You know, like it brought some perspective to us too of like, you know, we know, obviously we know your journey going through into this and then now like still kind of dealing with like something else now coming up. And it was like, man, like, but it just, I don't know if anything that brought us more of like a, like we got to see this through, you know, like this has got to be a good thing. 'Cause they deserve a win, you know, like,
yeah, it was a win. And I remember you saying that actually on FaceTime with me, you're like, it really hit me when you said to one of your friends, you said, it's so great to call people with good news from a hospital. And that's when I was like guttural crying with you.
Yeah, because you had, so you guys had said, you guys even said to me, I remember you guys saying this in the hospital, that it was like, it was such a different experience for you guys, because like for once you guys were going to the hospital with like a singularly good thing. Like there was nothing, there was no like negativity to it whatsoever. Yeah. This was like,
it was such a contrast from all the last 5 or 6 or 7 years of being in hospitals and dealing with death, facing death, just no sleeping and just pain and this and that. And then to be in a situation that was all about joy.
Yeah.
And everyone was excited.
Yeah.
Everyone
I was laying in a hospital bed, but I was totally fine. with my friends being like, I have a baby. Was it Kevin? I'm not sick. I'm not on painkillers. I'm not cut up. This is amazing. And so, yeah, I think it was such a special experience on so many levels. It was so heightened because I remember like that morning after I was diagnosed officially, and I was like looking at my church icons on my mantle and being like, God, how could you finally bless me with a baby and I'm not going to get to meet her? This doesn't make any sense. And I was thinking about it again, you know, the last couple mornings, and I'm like, oh my God, every time that baby gets kissed more than maybe all children in the world, but I kiss her nonstop. I kiss her feet. I kiss her individual toes, her hands, her face, her head, her ears, her nose, everything. I'm kissing her nonstop. And I just feel like all of this house right now, I finally feel like I know where I belong. I finally feel grounded. I feel like I've been searching for this for so long and I never knew. And I'm just so grateful to all of you guys because she's given me the most amount of joy
that I'll ever have in my life. And I'm like, I could fly. I feel like I could flap my wings and like just fly. I'm so happy. And I love her so much. I feel like this house is exploding with joy. So if I'm not holding her, I'm kissing my dogs. And then if I'm not kissing my dogs, I'm back to kissing her and Kevin and being like, we have a family now. Like, we are an official family. I love my home now. I didn't love my home for a long time. I love my home now because it's a home. And so thank you guys for honestly, like, we're so grateful that we got you guys because you guys are amazing humans. Like, we know you guys. And I was saying I'm a good judge of character anyway because I interview people for a living. And I know, Frank, with your profession, you know people very well too. But we're so grateful that you guys are the people that we went through this experience with and that you guys are family with us. And Stephanie, we're so grateful to you because you did so much out of the goodness of your heart for us. And I cannot thank you enough.
I'm speechless because I feel like the lucky one and I love every single person in this room so, so very much.
This was just a true connection. It was like a really, it was just meant to be. Everything in this whole scenario, I'm so thrilled with the entire experience. And yeah,
maybe we'll do it again. I see Natasha crying in the booth. Natasha, what are you thinking over there?
I hear the sniffles.
I mean, it's just so beautiful. It's like to see you going through this episode and talk about your experience, you are just glowing.
Thank
and
you.
And it was like you can see the radiance from within you, and it's just, and you sharing how grateful you are is just, there's so many people out there who struggle to have a family, and you truly are grateful to be in this situation and grateful to all the people who are around you and who have made this happen for you. And it's just, I have loved watching you through this process.
Thank you.
And seeing your beautiful family grow, and it's just only going to go from blessing to blessing.
I know. I told Kevin soon after we got home, I go, I want 50 more. 50. And he's like, well, thank God we don't have that many. But I'm like, I want a squad. I want a team. So anyhow, it's literally the greatest time of my life. Mm. And I feel like an incredible healing happening inside of me just because of that joy. Like, you can't. I mean, I wish I could bottle this up and give it to everybody in the world. It's just the best feeling in the world. As well as I'd love to bottle up her newborn smell because I inhale her like Snoop inhales marijuana. Yeah, it's everything, honey. Any final words?
Oh, we've said it all. It's such a blessing. You can't put it into words. And the reason I don't want more is because I just want to give her everything, you know? So I'm like, I'm surprised that you want 49 more. I'm like,
49.
He's so amazing. I don't want to spread myself.
P.S. Yeah. He's already growing before our eyes. And Frank, you said this was going to happen just the other night. And last night I looked at everyone around me. I go, guys, she got bigger. She literally just got bigger, like right now. And they're like, we just said the same thing. So she's like 3 weeks old, and she's in the 99th percentile, by the way. She's 99% bigger than all the kids her age. She's tall. She's big. She's going to be, I don't know what she's going to be, but she's going to be a great, great, great girl in this world. Anyway, thank you guys. We love you. And P.S. shout out to the kids who are so incredibly good and so quiet. And
little Frank and baby.
Yeah. Do you guys want to say anything? Did you guys love baby?
Lorelai.
Did you guys like saying baby?
Was there a baby in mommy's tummy? Yeah. Whose baby was that? Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to see baby right after this. And we're going to go get lunch.
Yum.
Are you hungry?
You getting hungry?
Do you want to go see baby? Oh.
Maria's springing for chicken McNuggets, I think.
Anyhow, friends, I hope you enjoyed this episode. By the way, Stephanie's book, From the Start, is incredible. We'll put a link to it in the summary of this episode. What I love about this
is you really share all the different ways that families can come to be. And it's a really great way to explain it to kids. So I highly recommend the book. I highly obviously recommend Family Match Consulting. We will do more on all of this, but we're so grateful to be able to share with the Heal Squad. We love you all. Shout out to Leslie for the cutest gift ever in the world. She custom made little Heal Squad lemon Nike sneakers for Athena. And it's like going to be a new business that she's doing. So I was like, once you have everything up and running, let me know and I'll promote it because I'm obsessed. It's the cutest thing ever. So thank you to everybody. We love you. In the meantime, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.
This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Maria Menounos or MariaMenounos.com is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions expressed or contained herein are not intended to serve as or replace medical advice, nor to diagnose, prescribe, or treat any disease, condition, illness, or injury, and you should consult the healthcare professional of your choice regarding all matters concerning your health, including before beginning any exercise, weight loss, or healthcare program. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Any information or opinions provided by a guest expert or host featured within website or on company's podcast are their own, not those of Maria Menounos or the company. Accordingly, Maria Menounos and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on information or opinions.
Hey, Heal Squad, we have been on quite the journey together, and we're hearing from so many of you just how much this show is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. We love, love, love it, and we just ask that you don't keep it to yourself. Spread the message and share the show or your favorite episode with your friends, and if you want to help us even more, you can leave us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and follow us on Instagram at Heal Squad. You can also DM us anytime because we love connecting with you. And finally, you can also join us on Patreon for our monthly live heal events with world-class healers and ad-free episodes exclusive only to Patreon and our Super Heal Squad for as little as $10 a month. So go to patreon.com/healsquad to join. Getting better isn't easy, friends, but as I say all the time, it's a whole lot easier if we can do it together. We love you all so much, and we love doing this thing called life with you.